You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, we're talking with Lob Lob. Lob, I want to thank you for being with me today. Welcome here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
So, Lob, let's talk about what you're doing now. I know you're traveling, right? You're driving now from Florida to see the countryside or something?
Yeah, I have a show up currently in Pasadena, California at the Armory Center of Arts. And right now I was visiting my sister. She lives in Miami. And then I'm going to be driving up to Virginia to visit my grandmother. So I'm kind of on this family adventure. But I'm taking a drive. I've never really driven through Florida or Georgia or really the Carolinas. So I'm pretty excited to see all that. It's going to be nice. It's going to be nice. It's been beautiful so far.
It's a big road trip. Where are you now? You're in Florida now.
I'm right on the edge of Florida and Georgia, on the coast. So it's very pretty here. Yeah.
I bet. So let's talk about this show that's in Pasadena. What's in that show now? What elements? And can you walk us through that a little bit?
Yeah. So I'm really proud of this show. There's a lot of different sculptural elements that I've made, and then I also have two series of drawings, and the space is kind of mapped out. I planned it as kind of imagining the flow of people to be a flow form. A flow form is a way that water is, you utilize movement of water to basically filtrate it. And so I was imagining people walking in and out of the sculptures, filtering themselves, essentially. But it starts out with a big door, like an institutional door that I've painted silver that's all just held up by itself. It's in between two cement blocks that then are chained together. And then on top of those boxes are boxes of tissues. And then right behind that door is a bag of meat on a grass mat that I've made. And the bag of meat is in fumigation bags. And it's basically these bags that you put all your food in when your house gets fumigated. And fumigation is when you have termites or something, they come and spray pesticides in your house. And it's supposed to keep all fumes out. So that you, when you return, you can eat your food. But for whatever reason, it's not keeping the smell from coming out of the bags. And it's in like 10 bags. And then I also resined the bags. So in my mind, I feel like it would be held tight within that space. But so the show is up for 4 months, and then we're on month 3, and it's really starting to smell bad in that space. So that's like an element, another whole element that's happening, which is interesting. And I'm like, so far they haven't told me to take it out, so that's impressive.
So there's a number of elements in this, right? Because I think I have one image of it, and it looks like there's like a series of vessels or bowls also that are leading into that room with a whole series of cups or something. Is that correct?
Yeah. So for me, it's kind of like a map of grief and elements of dying and also suicide. I have this piece that I call the suicide cabinet, which is like a stick in a pile of sand that has like a, and then it, on top of the stick is like a selfie stick like that you take pictures with, and then hanging from that is a bottle of prescription painkillers. And that's kind of like a central emotional element in that show. And then
which is the emotional element is suicide and mourning. I mean, they're two things, right?
Not necessarily mourning, ideas of grief. I guess it's similar, but but suicide is the main topic, I'd say. Because I have my mom is suicidal, and then I also have actually several friends who have died from overdoses. So there's a lot of I find it to be also like a little political, and because it's a huge epidemic now in the United States is the overuse of prescription drugs, but also how the pharmaceutical companies are involved in that process of access and prescribing too much. And anyways, it's a big, long conversation. But then what wraps through the space is this line of cups. I think it's like 120 cups that I made that have this little symbol on the bottom that I think of as like a spinal cord. So it's like a spine that's wrapping through the whole room. And it weaves in and out all these different elements. There's a pile of golden popcorn. There's this floating chair that I call the grief chair. There's this walking stick that has a tennis ball on it, kind of referencing like old age. There's these two pillars with carved out bowls that I made that I called tear vessels, sort of like in the entrance, so that like if you've ever been to a Catholic church or anything, there's these bowls of water to christen yourself with. So kind of the opposite idea of like giving the space water, essentially your own tears. So then the first room is kind of like sad, and oh yeah, and then on the walls there's all these drawings of dead horses, and they're really like they're really amorphous, like they're moving, their bodies are moving, they're skeletons, but they have a lot of movement. And then you walk through this sort of doorway, and then in that other space is just this piece that resembles a flow form. So it's a series of bowls that are stacked kind of in a line that starts high and then comes down low. And so the idea, if there was actual water, the water would flow from bowl to bowl to bowl and then down into these cups, and then it would flow, all the water would flow through the space.
And what does that symbolize? You call that a flow? What did you call that, a flow?
It's a flow form. So that's an actual design element that can be used in agriculture. They make these big fountains that aerate water. They add oxygen, and then it can purify the water. So it's kind of ideas of like rebirth and death and rebirth and finding life in within these spaces of grief. And then on the wall in that room are this series of eight drawings that's called FYI, We Don't Stick Our Heads in the Sand, and it's these drawings of ostriches, and it's kind of like a storybook element. And they're all different. They all have like a narration to them tell a story. And I was thinking about like these ostriches representing this sort of agelessness, a timelessness, like ostriches are dinosaurs but then like continuing that into the future with ideas of jet propulsion and space travel. So the collision of time, basically, in that room, is what I'm thinking about. It's a really rich show, and I like made it pretty fast, and I'm still kind of digesting what all is happening in it.
There's such heavy things happening in it. I mean, you know, talking about these kind of issues that, as you say, are political as well as very personal, you know, suicides and deaths and the opioid crisis. I would think that's intense for anybody to walk through. Have people given you feedback on the exhibit at all, or does it spark conversations about addiction or what's happening in different communities with that?
You know what? So far, it hasn't. The one thing that has happened is the institution that it's in is it's like a community center. So they have classes for young, like kids through like kindergarten, like preschool through high school, and they do walk, walkthroughs of all the shows. And one group of high schoolers came through that show and saw the drugs and got really concerned that they were there in that institution and they were unsupervised. And so I got an email from the curator, and like there was like immediately I was just told to take the drugs out of the show, like, and put replace them with something that actually aren't drugs.
Was that because there was a bottle of oxycodone or some kind of opioids in there?
Yeah, it's an opiate. It's like a painkiller. And it's enough to, like, if you swallow them all, it's either, like, you could use them and have some fun, or you could swallow them all and essentially not wake up. I was pretty offended by that, like, I being censored. I felt like I was being censored as an artist. And, like, let's just take the element out rather than having a conversation about it, because for me, like, to have a group of high schoolers show concern of this, of a drug element, like, they're as susceptible to...
Right, that's a good conversation for them to have.
Exactly.
With their teacher or whoever.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just put the drugs back. I took them out for a day, and then I went and just put them back, and so far, nothing's happened. So, but... Yeah, for me, it would be nice to have to facilitate some sort of conversation around ideas of suicide and ideas of drug use and access to pharmaceuticals. But, you know,
right. Yeah,
it's hard for institute. I think it's one thing to have art, and then it's another thing to have actually facilitate constructive criticism and conversation within the walls of an institution. I think.
So this is a whole installation. There's a lot of parts to it. Do some of these parts get sold, or is your artwork feels kind of like it's activist in nature. Is that part of what happens? Does the work go to collectors or get sold, or is that not really your goal here?
Well, yeah, of course that's the dream. I mean, I work for, since I've lived in LA, I've worked for these big time artists who are selling their work for thousands and thousands of dollars. And, of course I would like to make money doing my work. So everything is for sale, but, including the meat bag. But you know, nobody's, it's also that institution isn't necessarily, selling the work. So it's not a gallery.
Right. It's a nonprofit.
It's a non-for-profit, so they actually can't sell the work. But it's all for sale. Everything has a price tag. So I have no shame in trying to make money off of my work, for sure.
Well, that's good. Yeah, you should. So let me ask you one more thing about this show, because also in the Armory, you're also collaborating with Jennifer Moon, right, doing Mr. Snuggles Forever. Can you tell me a little bit about that installation? I don't have an image of it, but I'd love to know more about that.
Yeah, that's like a very kid-friendly, and also celebrating death. It's beautiful. There's a stairwell that leads up to the second floor of the gallery space where I have a show, and then Jennifer also has a show up there too. And so we collaborated on this stairwell installation of all these tapestries that narrate the story of Mr. Snuggles, who was Jennifer Moon's dog, which is a little, what's the name? They're like a white and orange poofy dog, small dog, that lived with her through a lot of life. Jennifer was addicted to drugs for 8 years, and Mr. Snuggles was there. So there's like a tapestry where the dog is like doing crack, and then there's a tapestry of Mr. Snuggles falling off a balcony because it's his origin story is that he was born in a group of other dogs, of course, and then the owner of those dogs killed them all with an axe, and then somehow Mr. Snuggles fell off a balcony and missed being dead by the axe, and then Jennifer Meehan found Mr. Snuggles kind of in a disgruntled manner. And so, yeah, just it just narrates his life story and then ends with him dying and kind of entering into the quantum world of the unknown. And then above that flies his skeleton. So Jennifer got the dog taxiderming into a fanny pack, and then we got all the bones back, and we had them reassembled. And then I made these glass wings for him. So he flies above his life story with these glass wings. It's really beautiful.
Wow, so he had taxidermied into a fanny pack, so it's kind of like a backpack?
It's a fanny pack. So it's like his paws clasp around her waist, and then you can open up his belly is like the pack. So his belly has a zipper on it, and you can open it up. It's pretty amazing object.
Wow.
For sure. So.
Yeah. I mean the whole thing sounds kid friendly. That part sounds a little disturbing.
It's maybe Nightmare Before Christmas, kind of like fucked up kid friendly, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right, cool. So that's exciting. And you're on this trip now, traveling, and you're driving by car. You didn't drive from the West Coast. You started in Florida?
I flew in, and then, yeah, I'm renting a car and sleeping in the car and driving up the coast. It's a nice break from everything, for sure. I'm really grateful to be able to do that. So.
Well, enjoy that. And let me ask you one more question. Just the last question is, what are you reading at the moment? I'm always curious.
Well, right now I'm rereading Close to Knives by David Wonovitz. I oftentimes think like I'm in conversation with him and his work. I like to, you know, place myself with these people that I love, but Mike Kelly I also really admire and imagine in conversation with his work sometimes. But David Wonovitz's writing is just, it's beautiful. I love it so much. He also interlaces the personal with the political, and it's very sexy and it's very sad, and it's a good read. I highly recommend it to anyone. So
thanks
yeah.
for that. And I suppose I should also ask you before we go about your name. Did you change your name to Lob Lob, or is there a significance to that we should know or you want to talk about?
Lob is a family name, and I just dropped my first name. I'm like a Madonna. I only have one name, really. So,
Elusive
Lob. Yeah. So.
Lob, thanks so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate this, and have a great trip as well.
Yeah, thank you so much. This has been great.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.